Let's jump right into it. More NBA conversation here. Jason Ross, Doug Christie, now joined by Keith Smith, NBA front office analyst for Yahoo, also does work with RealGM.com. Keith, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
No, we appreciate that. You know, Doug and I have started the show talking about, obviously, the Kings situation here. Let's start first and foremost with the most recent news, which not long ago announced that the Kings, on a one-year deal with Hassan Whiteside. What's your reaction to that move by Sacramento?
I was pretty surprised. That wasn't the direction I thought Whiteside would want to go in, nor the Kings. But it's perfectly fine. That's a good value get. He far outperformed that as a player last year for the Portland Trailblazers. I wouldn't say necessarily a major position of need for the Kings, but if they're going to commit to playing Marvin Bagley more as a four than a five, then you do need to have someone else in there with Rashawn Holmes at the five position. So I think it's fine. I don't think it's going to move the needle all that much, but I think it's a good depth signing.
When you look at Bogdan Bogdanovic, and that it was in with the Bucks, out with the Bucks, in with the Hawks, and now totally in with the Hawks, the loss of Bogdan, we saw that Monty McNair talked about flexibility, but also could there be some wanting to play Tyrese Haliburton and some of these young players?
I do. I think that's a lot of what not matching on him was about, because I think they see Haliburton as a good combo guard who's probably going to come off the bench as a rookie behind Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox, and you can get really good guard play out of those three. I was surprised Haliburton fell that far to the Kings. I think they got one of the best values in the draft with where he landed to them. So I think what you're going to see now is those three guys, that's predominantly your group. Corey Joseph will mix in there, of course, as well. But with Bogdanovich, it might have been a little too crowded. Of course, you could have played him a little bit more at the three. But I think the Kings are in a position where if it's going to be Fox, Hield, and Haliburton as your kind of main three guys going forward for at least the next couple of years, you're pretty well set up.
Yeah, and it's still, Doug and I have said, as much as there's not a lot that's been added here, they certainly have lost more players than they've brought in. Certainly the most important thing they did this offseason was extending and having contract control of De'Aaron Fox. I know it was probably more of a formality, but how important do you think that is for the Kings' next couple of years of any kind of success they'll have to keep Fox?
I think that's absolutely huge. It signals, he's their franchise player. He wants to be their franchise player. He wants to be there. I think all those things are important for the Kings, because I think that says to other players, De'Aaron Fox is going to be here now long term. 5 years is about as long term as you get in the NBA for any kind of deal. So I think that is absolutely huge. And the fact that they were able to, on a day where Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell got player options, they did not give a player option to Fox at the end. So they've now kind of got control for this year and then the next five seasons after, which is really big.
Keith, it's super huge. I would agree with you. As the Kings try to move up in the Western Conference, there's some moving around of other teams. Talk to me about what you think about Denver, because Jeremy Grant, I thought, was a big piece. He leaves them for a similar contract or the same contract that he got in Detroit. Was it just playing time, or was it not the right fit for him?
Yeah, I think all the word we're getting out of Jeremy Grant, when you start seeing, four, five, six people are reporting that they've talked to him and heard a similar thing, you can kind of take it and trust it. And is he just wanted a bigger role. He wanted to be somewhere where he could, he wasn't going to be the third, fourth, fifth guy in line. He was going to be kind of, one or two on a team. And he's certainly got that lined up with a Pistons team that, is kind of in a different phase from where the Nuggets are. And for the Nuggets as a whole, that's a big loss. That's, a guy who was really kind of became a little bit like their glue guy at the three and the four, their best defensive player in that opening group, I think by a pretty good margin. They rebounded by re-signing Paul Millsap, which I think is big. They added Jamichael Green. So they've still got depth. They converted Bol Bol to a standard contract. So the Nuggets are going to be okay, but I think they're now, if you looked at it and said, what did they need to do to stay on that same kind of tier with the Lakers and the Clippers? It was probably going to be re-sign Jeremy Grant, run things back for the most part. They didn't do that, so I think maybe they fall a tier behind those two teams now.
Keith Smith joining us. He's an NBA front office analyst for Yahoo, Real GM as well. You brought up the Lakers and Clippers. Did the Lakers create a larger gap between the Clippers?
You know, I don't know that they did. I think the Lakers got a lot better in the regular season. I'm still not entirely sure about the playoffs. Montrezl Harrell's a guy who struggled in the playoffs some. Dennis Schroeder has struggled in the playoffs some. So I don't really see a real clean and easy look at who their closing five group is in the postseason. I think they're going to miss Avery Bradley a lot more than people realize. While he didn't play in the bubble in the restart, he was very good for them during the regular season. You know, Wesley Matthews, Marc Gasol, you got to do some kind of management with those two. They're getting older in their careers, so I don't know how heavily you can lean on them. So I think the Lakers, they're still very good. When you're working from a base of LeBron and AD, you're going to be pretty good anyway. So I think, you know, they made interesting moves. I just don't know that they are, you know, going to be that much better of a team long-term over where they were a year ago.
Keith, kind of take us behind the curtain of an NBA executive. You had CP3 for Westbrook. That made sense. The salaries fit. We've heard Westbrook for Wall. Is it easier to do it player for player like that, or is it harder to move a player with that type of contract because you got to put so many different pieces together?
It's easier if you can do player for player, if there's a deal that makes sense. Because otherwise, if you're looking at a guy like Russell Westbrook, who makes, you know, $40+ million, what you're going to do in moving him is you're going to send him out, and that's going to be a deal where you have to sap a lot of your depth to get there. That's going to be really, really tough to pull off a deal like that. And that's why you don't often see those guys moved, because you're talking 3, 4, 5 guys got to go out for one just for the salary matching.
Keith Smith with us again, NBA front office analyst for Yahoo and Real GM. If we go back to the Bucks, where we kind of started with that thought of how this bogey plan to them then goes a different route, how did Milwaukee regroup there? They added more pieces and quite a bit of depth to their roster. Did they do okay there?
Well, I think as I've been looking at the Bucks here over the last couple of days, I think they got better in the backcourt. I think Jrue Holiday and DJ Augustine are going to be a really nice upgrade for them in the backcourt. I like George Hill, but I'm not a big Eric Bledsoe guy. So I think, you know, Augustine's a little bit of a downgrade from Hill, but I think Holiday's a huge upgrade over Bledsoe. But I'm worried about them up front. And Bobby Portis has never kind of clicked. He's never really kind of gotten there as a player. And he's now their only backup big of any note behind Giannis Antetokounmpo and Brook Lopez. So that's a big challenge. I had heard their hope was when Robin Lopez opted out that then he would re-sign for them after they kind of did everything else on one of those deals where re-sign with us for less money, then we'll take care of you a year or so from now. And when he chose, you know, I want to go to Washington and have a bigger role, that kind of left him in a tough spot. So I don't know that the Bucks, you know, kind of the big secret with them, I think, over the last couple of years was they overwhelmed teams with their depth, because they had 11, 12 guys who could really play. And now I think they're, you know, much more on par with your average team with about 8 or 9 guys who can really play.
Keith Smith, NBA front office analyst for Yahoo and RealGM.com. Take us back, so for our listeners, because we are obviously Kings heavy right here, and the flexibility that Monty McNair was talking about, now you don't sign Bogdan Bogdanovic. Where does this cap-wise, the fiscal ability to move around or lack thereof for the Kings, where are they?
Yeah, for the rest of this offseason, they're over the cap. And they've got, you know, they're going to be working with their exceptions and those kind of things as they fill out the roster behind, you know, kind of a more of a younger core and then Harrison Barnes. Going into the future season, what this does is this gives them a little bit more flexibility, because they knew Fox was in line for a max extension. You already had Buddy Hield signed. You got Harrison Barnes for another year or so on his contract. And then you got to deal with Marvin Bagley's new deal when that comes up. So what this does is this allows them to make those moves that they need to do to keep, you know, guys who I think they think fit, give the roster flexibility, but now there's also a little bit of cap flexibility, because it's nice to have all sorts of good young players until you have to sign all sorts of good young players. Then your team gets very expensive very quickly.
You know, Keith, something we've dealt with here for a long time is people will, and it's probably a fair assessment because you look at the track record and the Kings haven't ever really signed that big prime free agent with the exception of someone that they kept that was already here. How does a team like Sacramento, when like next season, they will have some cap room, it is a better free agent class, how do they strike on one of those kind of top tier free agents?
I think there's two things you do. One is you got to win. You got to show that you're committed to winning games. I've always, you know, been told with players, depending on who the player is, they want money and they want to win. And it, you know, sometimes it's winning and then money. Sometimes it's money and then winning. And then third is, you know, they'd like to play somewhere where it's warm, you know, ideally. So, you know, it's, you know, but as you look at it with that is it's, you know, start winning games. The other piece, too, which I think goes a long way with the De'Aaron Fox signing. And then also, I think, you know, if you go back a year ago to the Buddy Hield signing is showing that you take care of people. That you really want them to be there. You want them to be a part of it. You know, that goes a long way. We know the NBA, you know, there's, you know, 500 players or so in the league, but it really is a small fraternity. And a lot of these guys talk. And when you have guys like Fox and Hield are out there saying they gave us big money, and then you have Harrison Barnes, who's a veteran, a lot well-known around the league. He can talk about how they took care of him after he opted out. That goes a long way towards building that cachet up with folks around the league to say, you know, hey, give us a different look. You know, things are kind of changing. We've got a new front office. We're doing things a little bit differently. And I think that's really, really important.
Keith, kind of on the framework of that answer, one thing that honestly surprised me was Bogdanovich's decision. Now, he is going to get more money with the Hawks, but that championship opportunity and desire of Giannis to want him in Milwaukee seemed an odd one to kind of turn down, whether or not, you know, where it all fell apart. You know, we don't have all the answers there. But did that, just his decision to kind of ultimately end in Atlanta, surprise you over Milwaukee?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to at some point in the next, let's call it a couple months, the big expose that's going to come out that explains what went on, because we know it's coming, right? So somebody's working on that and putting that reporting together, and I can't wait to read it. But, yeah, I feel like I wonder if it was maybe with Bogdanovich it was a sense of, you know, hey, was he not fully in on this plan? Or was he, were the Bucks not willing to go to that number? We had heard $14 million was kind of their top end, and that starts to really change the math quite a bit for Bogdanovich, you know, when you put it in terms of annual or overall salary versus just annual salary. And then I also wonder, too, because I had heard rumors that the NBA was making some noise because they'll look the other way on some, I like to call it light tampering. But when you start greening things a week ahead of time and it's reported and there's all sorts of players that need to be signed and traded and those kind of things, there's a chance that the league might have stepped in there a little bit and said, hey, well, wait, we shut this down once. Now we're just going to redo this a week later because now we're in there. I wonder if that was a little bit in the back of the mind there. And if everybody just decided, you know what, let's scrap this. Let's all go in a different direction.
Keith, I agree with you on some parts. Do you think that Atlanta had anything to do with the complaining piece of this? Because when you have a deal, and we know that deals get talked about, and then at 5:01, the deal is done. It's like, okay, you didn't do it in 60 seconds, so you must have been talking about it. Was it somebody said it too soon, or was it Atlanta complained or somebody complained or a combination of things?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. I always laugh about that, too, is, you know, back when it was the midnight Eastern, I used to think, boy, if they can get these multi-million dollar deals done at midnight, we ought to be sending them in to negotiate, you know, worldwide trade contracts, right? Because they're getting it done in 5 minutes after midnight. But, you know, I'm guessing, and I talked to a handful of teams around the league, I even talked to some agents who weren't real happy with the process because they just don't like the idea of it's not a level playing field then. If the league is going to send out these memos and, you know, we're taking it serious now. You can't do this. There was a sense of, you know, hey, it's one thing when it's the day before. Like, we all kind of get it. We all do it. Can look the other way. But when this is like a week out, this is a problem. And this just doesn't feel right to anybody. And that's where I think you had multiple complaints coming in. I haven't heard that the Hawks were one. I also haven't heard that they weren't. I just, you know, I kind of believe they probably got several phone calls, emails, and text messages saying, hey, what's going on here? Somebody needs to take a look at this.
Anybody jump off the page that had the best offseason to you?
I really like what the Portland Trail Blazers did. I think they were a team that needed to add depth very badly. We saw that in the bubble. They just didn't have anybody. When they started losing guys, they were really down to playing guys who never mind a playoff game, probably shouldn't be playing minutes in the NBA in the regular season. And now they've got more depth than I think they know what to do with. I know a lot of people are really pushing the Hawks, and I do like some of what they did, but I think you hit a tipping point where it's almost like now you have too many guys. Mm-hmm. And there's some competing agendas there in Atlanta where there's young guys who haven't gotten theirs yet. They want to prove who they are. And then you got these veterans who are coming in. There's some guys who are on shorter term deals that, I worry about a little bit. But, I like what Portland did. I think they haven't done anything that's going to jump off the page to you. But I really like the Knicks being patient and not just spending money to spend it. That's been a major surprise there, because normally we're 24 hours into free agency, and if the Knicks haven't spent money, there's a questionable $20 million coming somewhere, and they haven't done that. So kudos to their new front office for putting that together and really exercising a patient approach for the first time in I'm gonna guess franchise history.
Yeah, sometimes it's the deals you don't make in that case there as well. Keith, well, thank you for the insight. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Keith.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Have a great Thanksgiving. Y'all stay safe, you and yours.
All right, thank you. That's Keith Smith. Really good insight. Lots of different stuff. And, there is multiple approaches. I saw plenty of people going, why wouldn't the Kings just match? Like, and people, not fans. I'm talking about people that are NBA experts and front office types that said, I would have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, I think it's like I said earlier, the definition of a pickle. I don't think there's a clear cut answer. I don't know that anybody is celebrating that they didn't do it, but you can see the lane they chose. Now, what do you do next? I'm looking at 2021 free agents. That list is really good, but what does it become? Who does it get? And we're at the unknown point of this.
Yeah, it is the unknown, because one move creates a domino that does different things, but sometimes that domino takes a while to affect what it is that you're trying to affect. And that's ultimately what we are in, and what Monty McNair is saying is, listen, this gives the flexibility. It gives, obviously, as we just heard Keith Smith talking about, the ability for a Halliburton to play, the ability maybe for a Jamias Ramsey and a Woodard to play, so you can find out what you got. Now, if you found a diamond in the rough and all of a sudden Marvin Bagley starts to happen and De'Aaron Fox continues to improve, the piece that you may go get may have been different had you not understood what it is that you have. So for me, I'm always trying to half full. I'm trying to figure it out as opposed to woe is me, half empty. I'm just not necessarily that guy. I'm trying to figure out, how can we look at this? Where could the Kings be going to try to improve? First and foremost, Monty is saying flexibility. We have to see, can he do downward dog?
Yeah, okay? Exactly. Exactly. And I thought Keith had an interesting reference, and that's probably the best way that I would describe it too, would be the dueling agendas in Atlanta. I think everybody looks at Atlanta and goes, yeah, they had a good player. They did. Bogey's a good player. Gallinari, Rondo, Dunn. That makes a lot of sense to make that team better. But the dueling agenda part is, what are you doing with Herder and Hunter and Reddish? Like that, the same group drafted those three young guys that have signed the veterans that, like, how do you make that all work? There's going to be some good players that aren't playing.
It's the flip of the Kings. Mm-hmm. Because had you kept Bogey, now he's there, so now Cam Reddish and Huter might not be able to develop at the same level, because Bogey is better than them at this particular time. Well, the same thing would be here for Halliburton, and maybe that is Monty's mindset, is I'm trying to go young. I want to see what these players that we've drafted have, and if they can contribute at a high level. The downside of that is you already know you had somebody that could play.
Yeah.
But at 28, which – to me, that's not like super old, first and foremost, because what's Buddy, 27?
Somewhere there, yeah.
Yeah. One, Bogey a little bit more injuries than Buddy, just as a machine. He doesn't really get injured. But I understand the mindset, because Atlanta's saying, look, we're trying to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. It's a lot easier to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference than it is in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. I mean, these are the moves that they're wait-and-see moves.
Yeah. I think every team was always going to have questions. They answer De'Aaron. Like, that, they want him. They think he's a big part of the future. They address that by signing him this offseason. Doug, I think they have to know. I think you say it. I say it. I believe Marvin's good. I'm not 100% locked in on that because I haven't seen enough, but I do think he's good. I think they have to answer that. I think that has to be answered this year if he is part of the future.
I think Marvin wants to answer that.
And he should.
Well, not only wants, he has to. Yep. Because ultimately also a contract is coming up. And if the Kings are going to be questionable at all, they could be in the same issue with Bogey because all of a sudden – somebody could come along and say, you know what, I'm spinning the dice. We got a little extra money. I'm giving this guy $15 million in the Kings. Oopsie. Yeah. You never know.
Yeah, I got to get these answers. By the way, we're watching his brother, Marcus Bagley, playing right now. Yeah, Arizona State.
Hit the three ball.
Did Marcus? He?
Yeah, he did. That's why I was pointing at you. Oh, okay. And you were ignoring me like normally do.
Wait, where were you?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
ex-King Bobby Hurley is his head coach. So we'll keep you up to date on that. Again, later tonight, UC Davis is their first basketball game. We'll have that for you coming up at 6:45. But next, let's get into the week. 12 games, preview, picks, that's all coming up right here on KHDK.
Now you're just showing off. That's not nice, man. Why do you want to try to rub it in?
That's your cookies. Here's a milk and cookies.
Hey, Chris. Give me the damn belt. Let me. Chris is like, I don't want the bag.
I didn't make
that. You have
to win it. I didn't have to make that trade-off. All right, we're going to get to our preview and picks coming up here in a moment. Again, thanks to Keith Smith, NBA front office analyst for Yahoo and for Real GM. Check that out. Go back to our podcast on khk.com to check that out. Before we get to our preview and picks, we got to check in with the survivors, Jay and Chris. It's decision time. I know they had to have their picks in today or soon. Chris, we'll start with you. You're trying to survive in this thing. I guess he should start with Jay. Wow. He.
What happened?
I don't know. Are they like?
No, I wasn't listening. I was doing something else. Working. I missed everything.
Yeah. He's got. Yeah,
I'm working on something else.
Oh, okay. Let me move so you can see.
I took as of right now at 4:32. I have.
When's your deadline?
Hold on. What's your deadline?
It's 5:00.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, you might switch.
Yeah, because news has just came out that Tua jammed his finger in practice on his throwing hand. I took Miami against the Jets, but
jammed his finger.
Yeah. He's still supposed to start.
I mean, even if Tua didn't play, they're going to beat the Jets.
Well, I hope so.
It's magic.
I'm going to ride that out as of right now. I still have, 28 minutes to.
Man, Fitzmagic coming in there. Chest hair out.
Miami Vice tee.
Two chains. Yeah. He doing the damn thing.
The collar popper.
Chris?
This is a tough one because I had to pick against my team. For my.
Did you do it officially?
I did. So.
You know, I think it should be – he shouldn't be able to pick my team, man.
I'm not picking your team. I'm going against my team.
No, by Chris's picking
philosophy.
My team.
Deep.
No, I don't – listen, he can have Aristotle. He can bring in Socrates.
Remember, the Survivor League, you're not picking the winner. You're picking the loser.
Yeah, that's what you say.
You're picking the Eagles, basically, to lose.
Yes.
On Monday night.
Like I did last week.
Now, you got to put some respect on my team's name.
I didn't pick the Browns last week. I picked against the Eagles.
Oh, my God.
He goes against the loser.
Okay. Whatever.
Eagles this is twice the in room.
This is the only week. I can't even say it, but you know what I'm feeling.
No,
right
say
now.
It. Go ahead.
I can't.
You said me off the air.
I'm interested.
You said it off the air. Go ahead and say it on the air.
Can't you see it in my face?
Yeah, but there's a lot of people who can't.
That's okay. For all of you on YouTube, you can see it in my face. I'm hoping Chris does not have a good week. I hope. I don't know how I can say I hope I have.
Rooting against him to lose?
You want me to lose my Survivor pick?
No, I can't do it.
I'll say man.
Well, all I lose is a half can of Coke with a cigarette butt in it.
Man, he sounds like Skip Bayless over here this weekend.
No, I wouldn't do that. I hope my team wins. So,
all right.
I guess Chris gets to ride along.
Likelihood you change your pick. Chris is locked in, sounds like.
25%.
Okay. And what are your other candidates?
Cleveland.
Okay.
Over Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Man, going with Jacksonville.
Like 100 times for both of you guys.
No, man. Again, I'm nervous because the Jets or Jacksonville is going to win one of these games.
Mm-hmm.
And then Seattle, Philly. But I need Seattle because they've got a cakewalk down the schedule. They've got the Giants, the Jets, the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they should win every game from here on out, just about.
Yeah, they got a good stretch coming up here to get that record.
What do you mean they should win every game?
Dude, you play the Giants. They should.
They're playing garbage.
The Jets,
hold on for a second.
Redskins.
I just want to. We've only lost three games. So, in essence, you said we should have went undefeated.
Well, you should have lost to the Vikings as well. Easy.
Should have lost to the Patriots.
Patriots last second.
That too. Yeah, you guys are borderline 500 right now.
Lucky.
In my eye.
Lucky is the word.
Hey, you're going to end up rooting for what you were hinting at.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Okay. Be careful.
I just keep my back to him.
There you go.
As long as I don't. You know what? He's like a male Medusa right now. So I can only.
A Meduso?
Meduso! That's nice. It. So I could kind of see his reflection right here, but I will not turn around and look at him.
That's
because.
Smart.
Okay.
All right, well, let's get into our preview and picks.
Let's get into it, man.
Here we go now. All right, well, we were supposed to have a triple header tomorrow. Instead, we'll have two games for you right here on KHDK. It starts with the traditional Detroit Lions, first game of the day. They will host the Texans. So this game, Detroit, man, that was my team. I was so high on the Lions early on. They disappointed last week, getting shut out to Carolina. I will pick first. With all that said, I'm still picking the Lions. They do well at home on Thanksgiving. I'll kind of ride that theme, the tradition. I'll probably get burned, but I am picking the Lions. Doug?
After getting the draws beat off of you, you got to come back, and you got to man up. I'm going to go with the Lions as well.
Chris?
Since they're your team and you're still going with them, I'm going Texans.
All right. And Jay?
I almost took the Texans last week, and I should have. Even though they lost, right? Did they lose?
No, yeah. they beat the Patriots.
Patriots, oh. That's right. Hold on, I'm tripping.
Oh, okay, yeah. Thinking Titans.
I think the Lions are going to lose. I'm going to go ahead and take the Texans, even though it's a traditional Thanksgiving.
Split amongst our teams. By the way, we, Doug and I, now have a one-game lead. It's close. We've been flip-flopping the last couple of weeks. So
y'all got some hanging chads. We need to take a check.
Recount?
We might have to.
You and I, Jay, are tied for top spot. Doug's got a one-game lead on Chris, so it's close. It is close. All right, Washington.
Why you say it like that?
What?
Why didn't you just say Chris is in last? When I was in last, everyone, I'm in last.
No, not everyone.
Because we all know that I'm not going to stay in last.
I'm not sure about that.
I'm not sure about that either.
And I still won't look at you, by the way. So if I'm looking at you and you're wondering, what the hell is he looking at? I'm looking at Chris.
Well, Doug, you'll lead us off on this one. Washington is at the Cowboys. That is the second game of the Thanksgiving doubleheader.
This one,
battle for first.
I know it's a battle for first, man. Every time. Give me the Cowboys.
Ooh.
Cowboys. Andy Dalton fever.
Say that with your chest.
No, that was down in my gut after Thanksgiving.
Very tentative. Chris.
I really want this game to end in a tie.
Oh. This has tie potential all
really
over the place.
Want it. And if they were to tie.
These teams are too bad to tie, Chris.
And the Eagles were to lose to the Seahawks.
Three-way tie?
Three-way tie at the top. What could ruin that would be the Giants winning would mean they would be in first place with a 4-7 record.
No, then you need the Giants to tie the Bengals and they'd all be in a.
See, that's not going to happen. Now you're just talking crazy.
Oh, my bad.
I would love for that to happen, but that's just out of it. I want this to be a tie so bad, so that's why I'm going with the Cowboys.
Okay.
Taking the Redskins. They've played okay the last couple
team.
Of weeks. Yeah. Or excuse me.
Yeah.
Well, the football team.
Yeah.
I'll take the football team.
Okay. You're going to be by yourself, Jay.
All right. I'm going to ride it out, baby.
Alex Smith.
On that remanufactured leg.
I'm doing better watching him. Not a lot better.
Yeah.
But
it's hard for me.
The
I'm
first
be
one, I watched like through my T-shirt.
I know.
I was just going, is he okay? But he's been hit.
But we got to remember it was a fractured leg. It was an infection that made it look that way.
Correct.
Turkey leg.
I'm not even touching.
Washington football team.
Yeah,
Washington. I have to keep saying it.
Yeah. All right, so Jay's the only one there. He's on an island. The rest of us have the Cowboys. The Raiders, who looked really good on Sunday. There's no reward, though, in a close loss. They play the Falcons. In Atlanta, so early morning game we have it for you here on KHDK. Sunday morning, Chris, you lead us off on this one.
Jackpot Raiders.
Brent Musburger calling the Raiders there for Chris.
And I just want to say, I really wish you'd go to Vegas, baby. Vegas.
I kind of like
this
that.
This one's interesting because I never know what to do with the Falcons, and I never really know what to do with the Raiders. I think I'm still down on the Raiders, and that may just be my perpetual hate for the Raiders. I'll take the Raiders. I'll take Vegas.
All right. I am taking the Raiders as well. Doug, is it a sweep?
Raiders, baby.
Are you going Dirty Raiders. Bird?
I mean, the Falcons are going to win.
Yeah, I know. We're all there on this one. All right, Jay, you lead us off on Chargers at the Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons.
Yeah, based like upon his, based upon about 10 texts ago, Jay goes, damn, Chargers being the Chargers. It was something like that. I just said, oh, he's feeling himself right
man,
now.
Man, Chargers are terrible. Yeah. Give me the Bills,
but
man.
It's going to be a one-possession game with 4 minutes left, but you're right. The Bills will probably still win. I get the Bills as well. Doug?
Yeah, circle the wagons.
It's a sweep.
Sweeperoo?
Yeah.
All right, next up. We look at the Giants at the Bengals. They start life without Joe Burrow. They're not even going with Finley. It sounds like they're going they made a switch. Already.
Secret weapon?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Allen will be starting quarterback for the – Brandon Allen for the Ooh. Bengals this week. Brandon okay. Allen.
Yeah.
Brandon Allen.
He's no Joe Burrow. But the Bengals host the Giants. I will take the Giants.
G-Man.
G-Man for Doug. Chris?
You know, I'm a big Bengals fan, but that's when it's with Burrow. And I've been watching the Giants. It's like, they've actually been doing pretty well.
They compete every week, too.
Yeah, defensively, they've improved.
Except their wins are just against the NFC East, which isn't saying much.
Well, you could throw the Bengals in that mix.
Yeah, you could if you want.
I'm going with the Giants.
Okay. Jay?
Yeah, I'm sliding with them guys in the blue.
Okay.
I'll take the Giants.
The G-Man. Yeah. All right, let's continue. Probably the I would say the game of the week. Mm-hmm. Titans at Colts. This was just a couple of weeks ago. This is now, again, a battle for first. Colts have had a couple good wins in a row. Titans had a great win last week in overtime over the Ravens. Doug, you lead us off. What, Titans at Colts.
Refresh my memory. What happened a couple of weeks ago?
Colts.
Colts, yeah.
Colts with a dub.
They spanked them.
They got them actually pretty good.
All right, give me the Colts.
Okay. I mean, the Titans won. No, just kidding. I don't know if it would change.
I put a star by them, but I just needed to hear a little bit.
Yeah.
Chris?
Well, I mean, how do you go against the Colts? They're just a winner. All they do is win. So, going Colts.
God.
Every week they win.
Every week, it seems like.
Yeah.
When did we start this? Week two?
We did.
That's kind of ironic.
Yeah, don't you think?
It's like rain on your wedding day.
Jay.
Chris in love?
He took the Colts, huh?
He did.
This one's tough. The Titans are...
Same record for both teams.
Yeah.
Titans have that thing of when it's close, all their players just decide they're not getting tackled.
Like Derrick Henry especially. That guy, fourth quarter, later in the game, he's just incredible.
I'll take the... man, this is tough. If I knew where you were going, I might go. I'll go ahead and take the Colts.
It's a sweep.
Really?
Yeah, you wanted to take the Titans and be by yourself,
huh?
I do.
I really do.
It's not too late.
I'll take the Colts, man.
All right. We got a clean sweep. We all take the Colts. We'll do our last game here and then continue on. Panthers at the Vikings.
The Vikings.
Yep.
Chris?
I am going to go with the team.
He's going skull.
I'm going with the Panthers.
Oh, okay. Jay?
Every time I don't pick my squad, they win.
Yeah.
So I'm going to rock with PJ. I'm going to go with the Panthers, even if Teddy B or PJ, even though they have film on the young man. I'm going to take PJ. The Vikings, I just can't get over Kirk Cousins,
frustrating.
Man. Yeah, I'll take the Panthers.
This is a tough one for me, too. I was really leaning Panthers, but I did end up picking the Vikings. I'm going on Dalvin Cook. I could get burned there, probably more because of Cousins, but I'll pick the Vikings.
If it would be Seattle, I would go with Minnesota here.
Wow. Give me the Vikings.
Okay. We're split amongst the teams. We got the rest of the games to get to. Five on it at the top of the hour. More preview and picks coming up here on KHDK.
KHDK.
All right, back here on KHDK. Jason Ross, Doug Christie.
Yes,
also Jay Johnson. Christopher Lye, we're in our picks and previews of the NFL Week 12. Full schedule. Everybody's playing.
Hey, anybody out there got the Maxi Climber? Thinking about getting one. Hit us on a text line.
What are you talking about? We're doing football picks.
Can I ask what the hell I want to ask?
During picks.
I got a question.
Not during picks.
We haven't even started the picks. We're coming back from the break. I interrupted Jason because I'm looking at this. I'm like, hey, I might want to get one of these. So if you are on a text line, or you got it on YouTube, holla at your boy. Anyway, back to the picks, Chris.
I'm waiting for that first text to come in. See on that. Yes, Doug, I recommend it. Or whatever. We'll see. We'll see.
It's coming.
It's coming. All right, here we go. Cardinals at Patriots. Jay, you were first up on this one.
I'm going to slide with my guy, the Oakland Athletic, the quarterback, Kyle Murray. I'll take Arizona on the road.
He has probably going to be cold. A little bit of bruised shoulder out here.
It's all right, man. Don't worry about that.
Don't worry about
it. He's a baseball player.
This is one.
How did he hurt that shoulder? Oh, yeah. Dirty players doing dirty things again.
Thursday, is there a reference there?
I just saw the tackle, actually, Chris. Did not look dirty whatsoever.
Dirty.
I'm sure that you're hoping there's some of those tackles going on this week, aren't you, buddy?
It's dirty when you get to start the play on the other side of the line of scrimmage.
Anywho.
Patriots.
Some blind refs.
I'm taking the Patriots.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like this pick. It's the one I switched in the break, but I may get burned on this one. I'm going to take the Patriots. There's always a game a week ago. How'd that game happen?
Yeah.
I'm guessing on this one.
I'm hoping that's the Panthers at the Vikings.
Doug?
Chris, who you got?
Wait, Doug, you're next.
Yeah, come on, I'm gonna break the pattern now.
What a surprise. Cheaters always cheat.
That's one thing you cannot say about me, Chris. I'm not gonna cheat you. I'm just gonna beat you.
You're on the clock. We're gonna have to step on the gas pedal here pretty quick.
Give me the
time.
Give me the Cardinals.
Chris?
Gonna have to go with the best NFC West team with the best NFC West quarterback.
Cardinals.
He just wants to pick. He just wants
Lonely
to pick,
Island for me. All right. Okay. Dolphins at Jets. I'll lead off. Go with the Dolphins. Doug?
Dolphins as well.
Okay. Chris?
Dolphins.
I'm swimming in the sea.
Fins up.
We're all there because Jay needs that one for sure.
Definitely need it.
All right. Browns at Jags. Mike Glennon's going to start for the Jags. Does that influence anybody, Doug?
Negative.
Yeah. Give me the Browns.
Chris?
Wait, if there is... All right. You know, this seems like the game that the Jaguars can win.
Wow.
Is he going to do it? He took the Jets last week.
Is he doing it?
I'm going with the Browns.
Jay?
You know, I'm thinking about switching my pick over. I got about 9 minutes to do it. I'm going to take the Browns because Mike Glennon's playing.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Much like Doug, it did influence you.
Yeah,
I have the Browns as well.
Doug Peterson a couple weeks ago.
All right, Ravens and Steelers. Remember, this game moved from tomorrow to now Sunday afternoon. Ravens at Steelers. Chris, you're first.
Well, this I thought was going to be a good game, and then it appears that a strength and conditioning coach screwed everything up for our Thanksgiving game. So I'm going with the Steelers.
Jay?
I think the Steelers win. I think this might be the backbreaker for the Ravens.
Ooh, that would be
I think if they lose this one, I mean, have to win, but I think they're going to lose, and I think this is going to put them on a downslide to not make the playoffs. I'll take the Steelers.
Yeah, the game means so much more to the Ravens, but I just think Pittsburgh's better, so I'm going to take the Steelers.
Yeah.
Doug, you doing it? You
standing on them too?
Yeah, no. Oh, okay. Give me the Steelers.
Okay, clean sweep. I thought he was going by himself there.
I did too.
I went back and forth, but no running backs.
Saints at Broncos, Jay.
This was my third pick for the Survivor League. But, you know, I have
sneaking
affinity
suspicion
for Drew Lock when
Broncos
he plays for
been
the
doing
Broncos.
This.
Yeah, they play okay. I'm going to take the Broncos over the Saints. Taysom Hill, you have a little
got some tape.
Film on him.
Okay.
He's going to have to throw better.
Yeah. I'm going to take the streaking Saints. Who dat?
Who dat?
Doug?
Upset of the week for me, by the way.
Who dat?
All right, Doug Saints. Chris?
Going to go with my teammate here and go with the Broncos.
Ooh, we ride it out, baby.
Woo! That's a swing one right there. All right, 49ers at the Rams. I'm first here. I'm taking the Rams. Doug?
Follow that bus.
Ram it.
Just Chris. Ram it.
Jay?
Cram.
Poor Niners. Who's playing for them? Anybody? Joe Montana? Who's in?
I have no idea right now.
You won't be walking through that door.
Doug, you're first on this one. Another good game. Chiefs at Bucks. Super Bowl preview, maybe?
Negative.
Okay. I'll end it there. Doug?
Ah, man, this is a tough one, man.
Bucks bounce back usually.
Yeah, they usually
Chiefs
do.
Chiefs are one loss.
Yep.
If they are who we think they are.
Then crown them.
Yes. Give me the Chiefs.
There's a little more descriptors after that, but I'll leave it there. Chris?
There's news that came out that the semifinalists for the Hall of Fame came out.
Yeah.
And I was surprised that Patrick Mahomes wasn't on the list.
Because he's a finalist. He's already in.
Which he should be. We should already be talking about Patrick Mahomes in the Hall of Fame.
Man, I should pick against them just because of him.
So I'm going with the Chiefs.
Oh, Chiefs. Lord.
Okay. Jay?
You know,
no,
I might stand.
Know his brother who?
I might stand on this island one more time by myself. Someone has to beat the Chiefs, right?
Yeah. Besides the Raiders.
Raiders.
Give me the Bucks.
Okay. You will be by yourself.
I am. That's
I'm
okay.
The Chiefs
I'm either going to make or break this week.
Yeah,
we're
no,
coming for the W this week.
The Bucks are not a bad pick.
We're going Roy McAvoy on their picks.
Getting a 12. All right. Bears at Packers. Chris, you're first here.
I'm going with the Packers.
The Packers. Cheeseheads. Jay?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people talk bad about my Niners with the wine and cheese, so I guess we'll stay one side and take the cheese.
Okay. I'm there, too, at Lambeau with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Doug?
Pack it in.
I mean, last
the Bears
game.
Are gonna win.
Seahawks at Eagles. Jay, you close us out here.
I mean, as much as I hate to say it.
No, you don't hate to
say
it.
I'll take Sierra's team.
That's not a bad pick, bro.
Guess what I'm doing this week?
What you doing?
Seahawks. Going with Sierra's, right?
Doug, now, that scares me.
Yeah. Doug, for the first time, is picking against his team.
I like to see it.
No. What Chris got? Yep. We didn't hear Chris's pick yet.
I already said my pick.
What'd you say?
That was your survivor
That's
pick.
That's a survivor pick.
No. Here, this is your actual pick. Survivor pick and the other pick are two
Why
totally
different?
Different things. These are our actual picks.
Well, this is like, I told you, this
is
a tough.
No, I don't want any freaking explanations.
This was a tough pick. I had to pick against the Eagles. I had to pick against my team.
No, that's not going to cut it.
You're still not hearing it?
No, I'm not hearing it.
No, I can't say it.
Okay, well, if you can't say it, you don't get the
You told me I'm not allowed to say the team name.
We got to
figure something out.
I did. I'm picking against the Eagles.
All right, we got a sweep of the Seahawks.
All right.
There you go. The picks are in. Good luck to everyone. Enjoy the games this weekend. We got 1 hour to go. Coming up next, 5 on it. We'll check in on multiple things going on here with some college football, college basketball, what's going on at OKC, Thanksgiving dishes as well. Oh, yeah, we're all over the place on 5 on it as we continue here on KHDK.